Hello, hello.
Hello.
If you are on YouTube, you can see that this is not Tanya. This week, we have Tara, the other T who joins us often.
Yes, I'm not really a guest anymore. I'm just
Right,
like
right, right.
feature player.
It's like, back in like the 90s, 80s and 90s, when you would have like a guest star, be like, and this person. I feel like that's like and Tara sometimes. Tanya is out saving the world as Tanya always does. I don't even know where she is at this point, but I just remember that she's saving the world somewhere. If you are new to the channel, like, subscribe, review. If you are listening on any kind of podcast platform, do the same. Follow us, subscribe, all the things. How was your week?
It was good. I feel like I didn't get anything done. I found a new Sims challenge, so I dedicated 2 days of my life to that. Which is ridiculous because I'm supposed to be getting a PhD.
I love it.
It's the ultimate decades challenge where you take one family from the 1300s to present day. And so I had to build like a medieval English village, obviously. And it was great. They're all dirty.
I was cracking up because I saw this thing on like Twitter or TikTok or something where a person was walking around a Renaissance fair, but they were like, "Is Renaissance Beyonce?" Whatever you gotta do to get through the days, I am for.
I'm also going to be a Sim for Halloween.
Ooh.
I bought one thing. I bought a headband that has a plumb bob on top. And I'm just going to walk around with it. And I'm like, I don't need to change. I don't need to buy anything else. The plumb bob lets you know what I am.
I would have had no idea, but I'm glad that this is happening for you.
I will show you and then you will understand. Like in
Well, I don't play The
the game.
Sims.
Well, in the game, because it's like Barbie dolls, except on the computer, because you can make them do anything. The character you're playing as has like a green plumb bob above their head.
Nice.
It's a very specific thing. And so people, hopefully most people will get it.
I
Gonna
think
be
they will.
walking around a university campus.
I think they will. I have two Old Faithfuls. I have a Leia costume. I saw it might be Leia. Shout out to Carrie Fisher, Carrie Out Forever. Yesterday was her birthday. Libra royalty, obviously. Or I also have a Grogu onesie. So one of those things is happening because I haven't bought anything new for Halloween.
Still in the universe.
There we go. There we go.
I've
Maybe next year I'll do something more involved. I'll have Tanya help me dress up as like Ahsoka
for this podcast, for if you're on YouTube, I'm honoring my girl Carly by wearing something that blends into the walls of GH. They had her blended into the walls of Pentonville. And so now I will blend into the walls too. That's our look. That's the new hot
Legit.
fashion in Port Charles.
OGH, oh Carly. Well, we have much to discuss, especially when it's you and I. So let's just get into the week. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Michael rushed home from the island with Willow and Wiley to get confirmation from Martin that Nina tipped off the S F tipped off the SEC.
How unimportant it is. We don't even know the
Damn. I'm about to
acronym.
snitch with a snitch lawyer. Ava was rescued from Austin's deep voice bald head lollipop looking cousin.
Why was she even kidnapped? So random.
By Dex and Dante. Now,
Even more random.
you know I want Dex to be Dante's son, so I was just screaming like, Dante, you saved your own son, or whatever Olivia be talking about. Anyway, Dante shot Mason and got put on administrative leave.
For the first time ever, now shooting people is a problem in Port Charles. I've never seen this happen.
Ever. Just like the first time ever I've ever seen a doctor recuse themselves from a thing. Mason or Austin was like, this is my cousin.
I'm also surprised Finn is not his dad's father, that he's not immediately trying to cure ALS. He's like, I got the cure. I'm going to find it. I'm a toxicologist or whatever I do. I'm a virologist.
This is why we had to start right away, because we can't even get to the recap. We just were talking shit. All right. Next thing. Cyrus is a free man. He visits Drew and Carly, letting them know that he saved Drew's life and they are even.
Where's the think pieces? They just let Cyrus out. He was in prison for holding Black people hostage. Trina. He held Trina hostage with her mom, who I know people hate, but she was there too. And Laura, who's a goddamn legend. And where are the think pieces? Because this is the height of white privilege. He just said, I'm sick and I found God. And they're like, you're right, sir. We should not let you stay in here a day longer than your life fucking sentence you were sentenced.
If you are not watching, I want you to know I'm making a smug face about where the think pieces. Anyway, next thing, Curtis and Portia talk about their relationship. I don't have anything else to say about it. Trina asks Spencer what he is doing with his life. He tells him that his current situation with Esme is a dream come true for Esme. I'm going to deep dive into this. I want to talk more about it. Okay.
He said, I'm busy being a rich bum like Haley Bailey's boy. Her husband. We're not sure.
What if Spencer got a Twitch stream? I would live. Anyway.
Let him become a Twitcher.
I would live for Spencer to be a Prince Twitch. I would love it. Anyway, Spencer reaffirms that he will be there for Ace when Spencer talks to Kevin about it, because he was mad he wasn't looped into Ace's doctor's appointment. Kevin looks concerned. Kevin looked like me.
Kevin was like, I have not. John Lithgow was like, I have not been on this soap in a second. What the fuck is happening?
John Lithgow is just like, my God, these Cassidy eyes. I know I love Laura and I married her, but God, Nicholas, Spencer, Lord.
Guys, send me some scripts from when I was gone, because I need to know how we got here.
John, just listen to Sunday Shift. We'll get you there. Anyway, yep. Lucy and Maxie talk to Blaze about becoming the new face of deception.
Somehow,
Blaze and Christina connect on Sunny's Island. And Blaze confirms to Christina she took the job.
Not Blaze's family being colonized by Sunny Crystal.
Viva Puerto Rico. Sasha told Cody that she's planning to move to Texas, just like every other tech bro, I guess. I don't know. Austin. Cody tells Sasha that Mac is his biological dad.
We still have everybody.
So everybody went back. No. You probably go whisper to Georgie, like, girl, guess what?
He's really like Gregory telling everybody he has ALS.
Finn and Liz make plans to take a romantic trip together. Fizzle rising.
Is rise.
Maxie also finds out Sasha is moving, and Felicia pushes her to tell Sasha she doesn't want her to leave, and also to make up with BLQ. Which might seem a little weird, because apparently Tracy is giving BLQ 51% of deception. Yikes. Lois tells Eddie Main and Chilin about the Lois Eddie Main story. Laura figures out. You said what?
He's a bigamous bum. Oh, shipped it. It was the '90s.
I mean, listen, I loved it. Laura figures out that Victor had turned Charlotte against Anna.
How, we'll never know.
Valentine still hasn't told Anna. Laura talks to Charlotte and tries to get her to admit what she did, but Charlotte does not. Drew is taken back to Pentonville, but Alexis interviews Judge Kim, and Judge Kim will be reviewing Drew's case. Oh. Felt like blackmail to me, but whatever.
I hope he puts him in longer. He said he needs to be in for 7 years, actually.
This feels worse than what Drew did to get in the first place.
That fool is out here sticking his ex-mother-in-law, his daughter's grandmother on me with her paper and her law degree. 10 more years. Like, everyone knows poor Charles of the Kingdom. So you can just arbitrarily do that. You arbitrarily let Cyrus Renault out.
Listen. Mess. Anyway, so all of that is y'all hearing us talk about the week. Look, podcast over at this point. No. How did you feel about the week? What was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment was learning that Blaze was colonized by Christina's father. That's amazing to me. What the fuck?
That Blaze, her abuela and her abuelo.
This has never been a community that just lived on Sunny's Island and he's like their king. Like, it was a casino. It was like a hotel on an island, and then you took a boat to get to the island, and then you took a boat to leave when you didn't need to be on that island. It's not like he owns the main island of Puerto Rico. Like, they make it seem like Lin-Manuel Miranda was working for him. Like, he was out here writing Hamilton while, like, cleaning a hotel room for Sunny. Like, what are we doing? There is better ways to get Blaze there.
Not Lin-Manuel. Like,
what are we doing?
Not going away his shot to work for Sunny on his colonized island.
I mean, the whole week was wild. And that's why I apologize. I kept having to interrupt because everything you said sounded crazier than the last thing. Like, none of it made sense. You were like, Ava got kidnapped by Austin's cousin and Dante and Dex. Like, what? If you just started watching, if you came out of a coma that you've been in for 15 years, like you're Dina Reeves, and you just started watching, you wouldn't recognize any of these people except for maybe Dante. You're like, isn't that the Dominic Pirelli character thing? Like, what's happening here?
You will recognize.
Is that Todd Manning?
Oh, God. We wish, to be quite honest. I'll just say that. I would say my favorite moment on a real tip was the Lois and Ned montage. I was like, I forgot how much I loved that story. Like, I truly forgot how good. I mean, the Kim. Ugh. I see why they fell in love in real life. They made
bigamy cute.
They did. It was.
They were like, if this was written today, I would be like, Ned Ashton is. I mean, I still, Ned Ashton is trash. Like, he's always trash. But I understand why people liked it. I'm not going to pretend like. I mean, I enjoyed it as a viewer, right? But I wasn't ever Team Ned. But I understood why people were. And it was really easy to be like, Catherine. Because if you see the story, like, Catherine is pretty much black. I mean, talking to people who have dots, who are listening. Me and Tracy, because we talk like every day, so sometimes we forget we're talking to the air. But no, so like, they really blame it on Catherine. She's blackmailing Ned. She wants into the, she's just like terrorizing the town, honestly. She tried to replace Brenda as the face of deception. It was a mess. So like, you do have something to root for Ned, and it's not like he's just out here dating two women, like, you know, Sunny in the early 2000s. They make it very rootable, and then they've showed like a 2.5 minute clip of. I was like, yes, this is the problem. They made a mistake because they showed the problem with how they use montages, like. They try to use montages to fill dead air. Like, oh, we don't have anything else to do, so let's put a montage. But, like, when you show a real montage where you need 2.5 minutes to actually go through the whole story, and the story was only 3.5 years long, your storytelling is bad.
I mean, I think it also is just, like, it's not just that. I mean, that is true. And I think that actually GH could... Let me back up. I have lots of thoughts about this. One, I think the storytelling on GH is very bad right now. I think that there is nothing that's really rootable. So even if you like a couple, it's because like you might like a character, or you might like an actor. But I don't really think there's like rootable things that are going on. Everything feels manipulative. Nothing feels natural. Even if you like a couple, which is why I'm going to get into like how I feel about like the Sabrina story, right? Like, you know, when we talk later, but everything feels forced. And so then you have a montage like Lois and Ned, and you're like, oh no, this was romance. Mm-hmm. This was good. And so, like, even when we laughed about the montage for Sona, we were like, it starts on deception, it ends on, you know, like, you know, lies. So did Eddie Mayne. But it was just something about the storytelling. Like, it was something about, like, Coney Island. It was something about them being on a roller coaster and, like, Lois's, like, energy. And there was just something about it that made it rootable and made you realize, like, oh, yeah, I did love them. Even if I don't necessarily want them together because I know that she's there for a short time. Whatever. You do remember why you love them. Because I wasn't watching GH yet when Lois was on. So I had to go back before they took it down on YouTube and watch that whole love story on YouTube, and I was like, oh my god, I love this. And so it was also hard because, like, at that point Ned was really boring. I was like, damn, where is this guy? So I think that that's part of the problem with using the montages too, because you remember, you see, especially like the old ones like that, you see how much better the stories were and how they actually invested in romance, and how you could have something like, we're going on this like roller coaster, and it just be to show you how fun this couple is. It doesn't have to be attached to some larger story. So I think that's part of the problem. And that's why I enjoyed the montage so much, because it reminded me of old GH.
Mm-hmm. I also love that Lois wasn't, like, I can definitely tell they're not going to the Lois Ned reunion thing because, one, Rena's not going to be here that long. But also, I love that she was mad not because he didn't remember their love, but he didn't remember all the shit he did to her.
Yeah.
I'd be mad too. I'd be like, no. You're going to remember your fucking shit forever.
Yeah.
Not play, like, ooh, that's the thing that bugs me so much about Esme. It'd be fine if she had actually changed. She'd actually changed and people didn't believe her and she was trying to be better, but she was atoning for what she did and she was culpable for it.
Right.
By having her forget and having her be like, well, I don't remember doing it. Like, so you just get away with it. Now I'm just the nagging person who won't let the past go because you can't remember. Like, that's the irritating part. And so, like, that's the, like, Lois really highlighted, like, why we're mad at Esme. Like, no. You don't get to forget.
And it's not even, it's like, I forgot and I want you to stop bringing up that I terrorized you.
Yeah. Because you kind of saw that with Eddie, essentially, is that, like, he keeps getting these different versions of himself from different people. And he was like, he spent so much time with Olivia telling him what a great guy he is, and what a great husband he is, and what a great father. Then you have, like, Tracy being like, you're my son. And finally, Lois is like, you were an asshole. It's a mess. Yeah. You're a fucking wife.
I can't believe we didn't get the her coming out the cake scene. Like, I was just like, where is that at? How could y'all leave that out the montage?
Trying to avoid showing Catherine.
True.
Because then we'd have to reconcile with the fact that she should be Cody's mom and not Dominique. And Matt could still be his fucking dad, and it would make more sense because Mac and Catherine were actually banging.
Well, let's not get into making too much sense. Performer of the week. I was like, who? I actually rewatched the week yesterday. I was like, who would Tanya have chosen? Who would have made her feel? I'm going to go with Jeannie Francis. I'm going to go with Laura and Jeannie Francis as Performer of the Week. There's something just, like, about Laura, because I complain a lot when Sunny is just, like, floating around town. I'm like, get this man somewhere. I don't do that with Laura. Like, mm-hmm. I'm kind of okay with her floating around town and just, like, sprinkling Laura magic everywhere. Like, it's something about her and her calmness. It's something about her scenes with her grandchildren. I love the scene she had with Spencer last week. I really loved the scene that she had with Charlotte. Even she's like, I can't believe Charlotte. I'm like, oh, Laura, sweetie, Charlotte would definitely. Charlotte has definitely. Like, But I really loved just the emotion she put into it, this kind of revisiting of Laura's past. Just nobody really does that like Jeannie Francis. It's, I mean, obviously we know she's amazing and she's gifted, and it's a reason why she's, you know, Jeannie Francis. But I really enjoyed her, and I think Tanya would have really enjoyed her this week as well.
Yeah, that's a great sort of homage to the fact that people really want Charlotte to be mini Helena. When she has this from her, from both sides, you know, Laura was quite the hellion as well, catching bodies at a young age. So, you know, she gets it honest.
She sure does.
Weird pyrotechnic energy she has now. I wish they would focus on it more, because, like, you introduce tarot cards and all this, like, and now we're just back to, you know, talking to this child, but not actually talking to her.
Yeah.
You feel like, are you okay? Did you commit any crimes? Not even that, you know.
I've done really bad things. Is there anything you want to talk about?
No.
No, I'm good. I'm glad you're home. Okay. What did she think? She's like, I don't know. Anyway, it was I also feel like that's the thing about Jeannie. She can navigate through, like, a really silly story.
I also really, really liked Sonola this week. I felt so bad for Anna. She is losing it. I need Valentine in a barrel at the bottom of the harbor, and I need a Zoloft prescription from a girl, because she needs some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need Zannies and Zoloft going Anna Duvain's way, because she can't even sit in a restaurant while being like, can we hide in the plants? Like, mm-hmm. Can we have this in the restroom? Like, we're very exposed here. Like, and then Valentine just out here with his little fire starter, which I guess I get. Give that child back to Laura.
I think that Tanya would have had Laura, or had Tanya would have made Jeannie her performer of the week. Tracy would make Fenola. I love, for all the reasons I love Jeannie, that's not the thing, but I think that Fenola had Anna play some stuff that we are so used to seeing Anna in spy mode.
Mm-hmm.
And, or like lover girl mode, or like all of these other, you know, modes. We very rarely see her terrified.
Yeah.
We very rarely see her be paranoid. And I have been holding out for Valentine as like a Vanna fan, you know what I mean? Like, I'm an Anna fan first, period. Been an Anna fan since before I was even watching GH. So, you know, Anna is Anna is Anna to me. But I really do like Vanna. I think their chemistry is great. I think they were telling a good story. And I was like willing to kind of be like, okay, because of how often they're on screen and or not on screen, it sometimes feels like these really big gaps for them. So I was trying to give Valentine this benefit of the doubt to be like, okay, this happened yesterday or this happened 2 days ago. And so he's trying to get Charlotte together. That went away for me with Anna's performance this week. I was so mad. I'm like, this woman is paranoid and terrified. And you see that and you don't even tell her the truth. And you know good and well, if you tell her the truth, she will protect Charlotte. You think you go tell Anna Devane what happened and she was like, fuck your kid, turn her in? Come on, she wouldn't.
Every single person involved. Anna, Dante, Sam. Like, these are people who are now, like, Dante doesn't even believe in fucking the justice system anymore.
Right, right.
Okay, and that's Lulu's daughter. So obviously he wasn't gonna, like, fingerprint her. He was gonna start a report. It's just so crazy. When he said, you have friends you can turn to, I was like, you're dead to me.
I was so mad about it. I was like, what is going on? Like, to let her just feel this way and not, like, and to see it. It's not like they haven't talked and he didn't see that she was terrified or whatever. You actually, in your face, see how she's feeling. And instead of being like, Anna, yeah, there are probably some things to worry about, but it's not in this respect. I was furious. And, I mean, that's all Fenola's performance, right? And like she makes you feel for her. I was like, Valentine, bro, like this is whew.
That's what the Cassidine, rich bum.
right. Valentine. I was just like screaming at the screen. Like, and it's very rare that like GH brings it out of me in that way, but I was like yelling, like, you need to tell her. Like I was mad.
I don't even think there's anyone on this. Maybe Jordan would be like, I have to report this. Because, you know, Jordan's like, I got a lot to complain. But everybody else would be super chill. They'd be like, nope. Like, even...
Let's get her some help.
Mm-hmm. Like, nobody would be like, well, we got to file a police report on this girl. Especially, like, you don't have any proof. Like, unless she confesses to the arson, y'all don't have any proof.
This she did, right.
And so,
yeah, you know, I was mad, and you know, I've been to two Vanna lives, you know what I mean? So, this is not for the faint of heart with me. I am mad at Valentine. Ugh,
I went to Sacramento for that man, he owes me more.
I know it's giving David Hayward,
giving Duke Lavery.
Mm. Now I'm like naming off Anna's man. I'm like, damn, Finola's a Kim magnet. Like, she be making these bad boys soft, but then they go back to their bullshit.
I mean, Luke would have done something if she didn't just dump him for like Eli Love / Noah Drake.
Which I get. Who wouldn't? Jesse's girl? Come on, babe.
Super funny. Tony said, I'm gonna bang all the chicks on this show. Luke will have them all of them.
Don't even get me started. What's working this week? You want me to go first? Your face. I can go first. I really love Sunny's baby mama extended universe, cinematic universe.
They're doing so much.
Here's the thing that I really loved. And it made me remember that, like, while I'm not a Carson fan, I am a fan of like these two characters interacting and the family that they've created and the bonds that they've created. So I really loved Avery and Joss's scenes. Ugh, melted my heart. I loved them. Joss being such a good big sister to Avery. I was a little bit disappointed because when Dante was like, said something, because you remember they used to just call Jocelyn Dante's sister. So I was a little disappointed when Dante was talking to Avery. He was like, stay here with your sister. I wanted him to be like, stay here with our sister, but that's just me. Maybe that's because Dex is his son and they're prepping for that. Anyway. I really love those scenes. I love the interactions between Carly and Ava.
Me too.
Something about like, we don't have to be friends, but I got you. And if you look through just like the way that went, Ava knows her way around Carly's house. Ava changed clothes. Like, this is, no matter how much beef you have, this is family. And I remember I had gotten annoyed way back when Ava was kind of gloating about Carson being broken up to Nicholas. Like a couple, like back when it was like, you know, Nicholas or whatever. And I remember saying to Sandra, I was like, this is annoying to me because even if Ava doesn't care or like wants better for Nina, like I don't understand the gloating around Carson, considering like on Carly's behalf, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because y'all have actually raised Avery together. Like Sunny and Ava might be co-parents, but Carly and Ava are the true co-parents. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you remember like Carly and Ava sitting down with their calendars talking about Avery's schedule. So even when Nina like turned Carly and them in, I'm like, girl, that's part of your childcare. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I really enjoyed their scenes. I think it just like shows how far they've come and how women mature, like how they like mature people when they have children. Because I think there's a lot of comments around like Sam and Carly should never be friends, or Liz and Carly should never be in good relationship with each other. And it's like that people don't have to be besties, even though I do love me some Car Sam. Ooh. People don't have to be besties, but I think that once people grow up and they're on a soap, a lot of times a lot of that drama just like kind of falls away because you have so many common interests. So seeing that Ava Carly scene like showed me that same kind of thing. Dante saving the like being called in, Jocelyn and Dex taking care of it before they called called Carly. And then last thing, and then I want to hear from you about this. Sona being like the reverse version of Cater to You. You remember when Kelly was like, tap me on the shoulder, I'll roll over. Sunny was like very opposite. Like, we'll be in bed, but when Carly calls me, I'm gonna roll over. Cause they was in it. And then he was like, hold up, my phone is ringing. Oh, it's Carly, girl. Hello, what's going on? No, like nothing. There was no guard. There was no, I'm calling you and I'm in the bed with my new wife and I'm going to answer you. I said, oh.
Okay. It's weird. I don't understand that choice. Like, why not have your phone? Like, who has their phone on in there, like, when they're in bed with their brand new wife? Like, you're, and then, oh, he's a mobster. Okay, sure. Oh, he has kids. Like, okay. Like, but yeah, that was an interesting choice. I like this the Car Sam thing. Like, people have been saying like she should never be friends for a decade. They've been friends for a decade at this point. And so like this talking point is ridiculous. Like, it made more sense in 2013 and in 2023, just accept that they're friends. Like, okay.
Don't think about the scene where Carly, I think it was like Jason had gotten hurt or something, and Sam came in and snap on people, and then Jason was like, she's pregnant, and Sam just like turned everything around, and they were like kicking and girlfriends, and even said they loved each other. Part of the problem with the Car Sam friendship is that Sam doesn't have enough story, so all of the times that like Sam and Carly are interacting, they're talking about Carly. So, because like, if they were talking about Sam, what would they talk about? But that's a larger issue of Sam not having story. So I would
see a recent balance. Thing because that's a recent thing, because the beginning of their friendship was very Sam heavy.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, first it was like Sam comes in to like help find Morgan. Then it was the Jason stuff. And Carly was firmly team Jason. Like, firmly team J-Sam. Just firmly J-Sam. She was like, fuck Elizabeth. Like, I don't care what she wants. I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
Anything. J-Sam for life. And then the stupid Jarlie wedding in 2021. Like, okay, Sam is with Dante at this point. Or, like, Sante is happening at this point. And Sam don't want Jason. Like, she had broken up. And I liked the scene between Sam and Elizabeth where they, like, reconcile this, but it wasn't like Sam was waiting for Jason to like come back to her. Like, she left him. It was just like a weird, the fights are like these weird personal fights where like, cool, you personally don't think, and that's something I think just on social media, like there's certain people who feel like they're the voice of the fandom, and it's actually quite silly. Like, it's totally valid if you feel a certain way, you know, like this is how I feel, and like this, I'm putting my foot. But like, a lot of people like to use the royal we don't like this, we don't understand. And I'm like, how many people do you speak for? Do you have a spreadsheet?
I hear you saying we a lot. Are you speaking French now?
Yeah, for real. Who is this we? It's so weird to me. That's the thing. But I did think of something I like. And it's not going to last because Michael's already going to do something stupid. But I loved Michael just like getting Martin to snitch.
So quick.
And then just dismissing him. He was like, what are you going to do? And he was like, bye. Thank you. Have a nice day. Loved it. I changed my whole Twitter account to like reflect it. It will probably come down with sometime this week.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it'll be like, you know, I'm going to do the T.I. snatching the necklace. Like, you know, But it was fun while it lasted. I love when they let Michael be conniving fuckboy character that he should be.
That he should be, right.
I love you, KJ. I want you to know that. And Milo is a travesty. Michael should be free and banging all of the eligible chicks. Like Kyle Abbott is on Young and the Restless. And I hate that fool.
Yeah, I feel like they just overcorrected with Michael because he's Sonny and Carly's kid. And, like, I mean, I've said many, many times, and I will say probably many, many times in the future, I liked him with Sasha because he was able to be a playboy. He was able to defend her. Something that I know is happening, it's supposed to be coming up, because we read Soap Opera Digest, was that basically Michael's going to go to Nina with the recording and essentially, like, say he wants to control, like, her interaction with Willow.
Which sounds insane.
Trash. And I've actually, like, said, I mean, it's been a long time, but I've actually said before, and Sandra, when Sandra used to record with us, has done way more in depth, that part of the problem is that Willow doesn't have anybody. Like, who would choose Willow? If something happened between Michael and Willow right now, who does Willow have on her side? I mean, now she'll have Nina, and Nina's kind of like family. But before that, like, she was by herself. Like, okay, so she's friends with Sasha. Well, Sasha is deeply, at the time, was like deeply within the Corinthos. Like, she just didn't have anybody. So to, like, have Michael try to control her, I'm like, no, bro. This is reason for her to break up with you. This is crazy.
Yeah, and it makes Nina look good. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Because, like, now they can't have an organic relationship. And whatever the hell she does is being, like, actually manipulated by you. They've taken, like, so they had Nina convince herself that, like, Carly and Michael were, like, manipulating Willow when they weren't. And now they're gonna actually have Michael manipulate Willow. Stupid and trash, and it's like they're constantly trying to both sides the story. Like, they think if they have the right, like, if they have, like, Carly's side, which features various characters, do X, Y, and Z, then, like, a portion of the people who's root for them will be like, you know what, you're right, I'm gonna root for Nina. No, they can burn her house to the ground like Charlotte. I don't give a shit what happens to Nina. And I don't think that this is a good plan for Michael. It's a terrible fucking look.
It's terrible. It's
so
terrible.
Mean to Willow. Abusive. Yeah, hella. Abusive. You could have let Nina shoot herself in the foot because she treats people like possessions. So it wouldn't take long for her to do that. And instead, you've decided to go full possession and treat Willow like she's some child. And because, like, in his mind, I'm guessing, if I'm not in the fucking writer's room, but, like, he was mad, he listened to Willow, he went to that wedding, and then immediately found out he was right about that hoe.
Mm-hmm.
I was right about her. And so now he's like, I can't trust Willow. She don't have it. She don't have it. I'm gonna have to protect her. He's going full Sonny Corinthos.
It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I think to your point, because I want to pull out two things that you said. One, I think the social media thing is really interesting because, you know, I only sometimes see stuff that comes up for you. And the funny thing about my social media now, one of my Twitter, is I see, like, more B&B and Dave stuff than I see GH stuff. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because I still follow people, but I have most stuff, like, people who I, like, you know, I never stopped following, even when I stopped, like, kind of exited soap Twitter. But I have a lot of stuff muted. So a lot of the stuff I see on my For You, like, I also see soap Twitter stuff, but it won't be GH soap Twitter stuff. But I do think that there is something about Twitter believing it speaks for, like, the fandom when most of the fandom is on other platforms. So, like, you know, if you're on Twitter and you get, like, 1,000 likes on something, that's like, oh, that's a lot of likes, right? I, in a Facebook group, had posted our picture when we went to, like, Vanna Live, and it got, like, 5,000, like, likes and a bunch of, like, whatever. That's, like, normal for that Facebook group. So, like, and I'm not saying they all have the same opinion. I'm not saying, you know, whatever, but and I'm not even saying that I agree with their opinions, because Facebook hates Portia, doesn't really like, you know, like, all these things that I don't agree with on Facebook. But I can't pretend, even when I get on here, I try to like not speak for the fandom. I try to speak for me, because you actually just kind of like don't know the way the fandom is. And I also think that there's like a little bit of stuff I do see where it's like people like, oh, you know, Carly fans are toxic or whatever it is, right? Like the kind of things that'll slide through on my social media. I'm like, I actually feel like people are responding to what they see on other social media and bringing it to Twitter. Because from my understanding, you would know better, Twitter kind of is like pro-Sona, anti-Carly, like space. And so, I mean, like there's obviously like pockets of fandoms everywhere, but it's not like an overwhelming amount of like Carly love on Twitter. That's like organized, rather, right? On Facebook, it's really different. On Instagram, it's really different. And you put, they put up the Sona wedding, and people were just like, "This is the worst thing I've ever seen."
You know, Instagram, I mean, is like, hard.
So people go hard, like even harder than we go on this podcast. Because, like, I'm never gonna talk about somebody's looks. I don't get down like that. I don't even think that is right. But people do that. And so I think, to your point about what they're doing with Michael, Cynthia Watrous is not going anywhere. Nina is not going anywhere. And so the writers went too far with this story. And so now they're going to have to try to balance the scales to like make her more sympathetic. And I feel like they're going to like do this really awful thing with Michael that is not in line with like what we've seen from him. To like do it,
they need to punish somebody. Someone needs to be ostracized, and it doesn't necessarily need to be Nina. That's not me saying like make sure it's Nina. I mean, y'all know how I feel, but like for story wise, the issue is that this is like a never ending tennis match. It's just volley after volley after volley. And everybody keeps forgiving everybody else. And everybody keeps understanding everybody else. And everybody, shut the fuck up. Like, let somebody fall. Like, if this is Michael losing everything, let him lose everything. He'll get it back in a few fucking months.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, they never let it happen. They think that's what happened to Nina after Nixon falls. It's not. She put on a freaking dress and went to the champagne room. She was absolutely fine.
She was fine. Like, the only people who were mad at her were Carly's friends or Carly's family.
Yes, like, so if this ends with Michael losing Willow, KJ, I love you, I'm sorry. If Milo ends up breaking up, then that's the consequences that have been lacking from this story.
Right.
And the Milos are going to be furious because it should have been Sona, and I'm like, I don't control that, I'm sorry. But, like, you know, maybe they'll both get taken out. But, like, this is a situation where the issue is that there are no consequences being vetted out. The only consequences I've seen any character take in the last few months have been from Ava and from Sasha. The show's continual punching bags. I'm sick of seeing them dragged through fucking woods and fucking drugged and all this stuff. Like, stop it.
Yeah. I would also say Drew has the consequence of Pentonville, which is silly.
Yeah, he was
like
crashes, Pentonville, memory loss. He doesn't have his memory. Then he has it. He's being controlled by tarot cards. It's so messy. Like, give it to someone else.
I do want to come back to Drew a little bit, but I want to also say, so here's part of, like, I mean, and you and I have talked at length about Sona, and so I don't even want to get into what I think the fandom's problem is. I want to get into what my problem is, and I want to hear from other people if, like, some of this, like, resonates with them. So put it in the comments or whatever. Part of the problem is that with soaps, you have to have, we can all have different opinions, but you have to have like a common starting point. And so taking it back to Nixon Falls, we didn't have that. And I think that there was like a little bit of that, like both sides-ism when like Carly didn't tell Nina about Nell, right? And so then we all watched that Carly didn't push Nell. But people who didn't like Carly or Nina fans were like, well, Carly could. I'm like, that's not even right. Like, you don't have to like Carly for that not to be like the common ground that we have, right? Like, to know that like that's not what happened. And if Carly would have tried to say that girl, she probably would have pulled her over too. Now, we can say everything about how Carly shouldn't have lied or whatever it is, but like, we know that didn't happen. And so then you get to Nixon Falls. And for me as a viewer, I was like, oh, this isn't a love story. This is like very manipulative. And this looks like somebody who we know, a character that we know has had mental health issues, Nina, like having another mental break, creating a fantasy world, like, and having Sunny, aka Mike, live in it with her. And so for me as a viewer, once that was over, I needed for people to like not call that sweet. Like, I needed for, like, Mike, like, Nina and Sunny not to, like, call back to that as if it was, like, romance when it was actually manipulation. And lies. And lies that impacted other people's lives. And so, I think when it comes to storytelling, what the story that GH chose to tell was, like, this Carly versus Nina story, when the better story to tell even then would have been Sunny's family versus Nina and her family. And like having Nina's family come to her aid and be like, yeah, she might have been right, but she's ours. And then it would have made more sense for like Christina to have forgiven her. Cause like the idea that like what she did wasn't a big deal is wild. Like it, and I think that, yeah, I mean, I can't speak for other fandom, but for me, the idea that what she did wasn't a big deal is wild. We're talking about literally keeping this man from his children, having them mourn. Forget Carly. Between, if it's like Nina versus Carly and they're 25 and they don't have children, whatever. That is like classic soap, like we back and forth, we fighting, whatever. You're talking about somebody who you have like given these huge family, this huge family, all these kids, like then having these kids mourn, and then a year later having these kids act like it's cool for you to marry her. And you got Christina looking like a damn clown to be what, cheerleading her because she was nice to her? Yeah, you can be nice to me, but when the chips are down, when it comes to like what you will do when you are backed into a corner, I can't trust you. And that's what it comes down to, like the SEC thing. It's not, whatever, Carly and Drew, whatever, did it, shouldn't have done it, whatever. It was silly. It was stupid. Carly was dumb for that. I'm never saying she wasn't. But the point is that Nina turned in the like mother of like the man whose kids that she's, you know what I'm saying? Like she turned her in on some petty shit without any regard or concern for anything else or anybody else's life. It's not like with Robin, for example, right? I know that we've talked about Robin, but like Robin is like, this is the right thing to do. She had some morality to her. And so when she like exposed like paternity or whatever, there were people on her side because it wasn't as if she was doing it just on some petty shit. She was doing it because she believed that these kids should be with their father. When Nina, she straight up was mad and jealous and was like, I'm going to take Donna's mama and Avery's stepmom and all of these people's mother away from them because I'm mad about it. While I lay up with a mob boss. So, sure, of course, like, just like idea that like, oh, well, Nina didn't do anything wrong. Wrong and legal. I'm sorry, carceral Twitter, but that's not the same thing.
Yeah, that's
like a family.
There's a weird thing about like, she didn't do anything illegal. Who is saying she did anything illegal? Like, no one has said that. Like, you're saying that. Like,
I'm not. Who cares? It doesn't have to be illegal. Sunny's doing illegal stuff right now, and she doesn't care. The point is that she did this because she was petty. And because of that, for me, it's hard to like even want to see this character because I'm just so disgusted. And then you have them get married, and she's bringing up Nixon Falls again. So you're talking about the time where you manipulated this man and kept him away from his children. The children who you now are like letting you call mama or whatever you're being called, you don't care about these kids because you didn't even care about them grieving. And so again with Nina, if you're not connected to her directly, you can suffer. And that's who she is as a character. And that is why I don't like her. Dissertation done. Sorry, that was a rant, y'all. My bad.
Yeah. Essentially, that's why I'm, like, irritated with this. And there's nothing wrong with, like, wanting people to suffer. Like, you don't want a character, you want them to suffer, it's fine. It's this, like, weird pseudo-intellectualization of this soap that's irritating. Like, ooh, the optics of this, like, two white people dodging insider trading. But, like, Cyrus Renault getting out of jail is perfectly fine. And I'm perfectly fine with Cyrus getting out of jail because it's good story, right? He's going to be free and do shenanigans. He was doing a lot of shenanigans from in jail. So I can't imagine the shenanigans now that he's out. And you can't take this intellectualized position about, like, white optics in crime and then be perfectly fine with this, like, super evil, murderous man who took a black family hostage. And that's how he ended up in jail. And now it's fine that he's out because he faked a, you know, Jesus loving and had a heart attack where the devil told him he was an asshole. Like, and we watched the devil as Laura be like, you're a piece of shit. But, like, no think pieces. There's no, like, I just feel really wrong about this. Like, no, you never felt super wrong about Carly and Drew. You just don't like them. And that's fine. Dislike them. But, like, this idea that you're, like, super heartbroken, that, like, your moral compass is now somehow damaged by this soap, like, please stop. Please stop. You don't need this level of disdain. It's a soap.
And let's also be really clear about the way the story went down. Drew wasn't even trying to escape consequence. Drew said, I'll go to jail. I'll go to Pentonville. But if you believe that insider trading should be in the same jail, like, for, I mean, first of all, you know, abolitionist Tracy is like, abolish prison, right? But this idea that, like, Drew should be in Pentonville for this, that's not even what you do with white collar crime.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not even that he was trying to escape, like, consequence. He was trying to escape a consequence that was too harsh. Like, that's the problem. If Drew was in Pentonville right now and actually doing, like, what the, with his lawyer, by the way, we ain't saying Zeke, but, like, the deal that his lawyer did, we wouldn't even be having the storyline. Drew was not saying that he shouldn't go to jail. Folks were like, oh, Pentonville for this? It's wild.
That's, I mean, because all this, the social justice warriors clearly don't actually look up what the carceral state is and, like, the levels of prison and the different types of prison and, like, where you get sent for each crime. Like, the judge, you know, they can put you where they want. Like, the first of all, the judge doesn't send you anywhere. The Department of Corrections puts you places. But, sure. The judge sentenced him too harshly, and then, like, in a real world situation, the Department of Corrections put him in, like, San Quentin when he should have been in a minimal security place that was, like, open field and you're just out here chilling. Like, that's the issue. It's not the fact that, like, oh, he wanted too hard light of a sentence or anything like that. They put him in with fucking murderers for a white-collar crime. That's why Cyrus Renault was there.
Right.
But, like, and that's why this whole, like, when I saw those, like, articles about it, I was like, you got, I go to, like, one sociology class, please.
And the only reason I saw an article about it is because, you know, I a lot of times will go to Soap Central to get, like, the recaps or whatever. And so I saw the article on Soap Central. I was like, this is really interesting because, like, they typically have not, like, I feel they editorialize for sure, but I have not really seen it this extreme before. I was like, oh, this is okay. All right. You know, whatever, it's fine. But it was like soap zone levels or soap hub levels of editorializing.
It's like the optics. Anyway. Even with Spencer, like, the reason Spencer ended up in Pentonville was because he broke out of Springridge. Going back to Springridge was no longer an option because you already proved that you got the connect. And so now you're being charged not with the original crime, but with, like, breaking out of prison, which is a super...
Which I hated. If you go back to the records, I hated that shit.
Same. Like, I don't need anybody in prison. I hate when we bust out the prison sets. Like, the prison sets are stupid and unnecessary. Everybody gets away with everything on a soap. Like, I don't know why we can't. Or if you don't, you're sent away off screen. we'll see you in a few years. But like this whole like you're either like ACAB or you're Blue Lives Matter. Which is it? That's my explanation.
Moving to the next one. What's not working? What's not working?
GH.
Oh God. I will say this, that like, you know, they do the ratings in Soap Opera Digest or whatever. And I also wonder, because I know that they don't consider streaming. So a lot of times if I miss GH, like whatever, I'll watch it on Hulu. And Hulu, like now, like just on Netflix, that's a top 10 or whatever. Hulu does a top 15, and GH is always in the top 10. So I do kind of wonder, like, what those ratings are for streaming. And I wonder how they're counted, especially because Hulu is owned by ABC and Disney and all of that. So I do think that's interesting as an aside.
The main reason why they don't care about those ratings, like, I know other people obsess about them, but, like, Disney could care less because, like, they're not in competition with Days or Young and the Restless anymore. Like, they're completely in competition with themselves and the streaming numbers. And I think there's a lot of people, like, we are the soap fandom because we are open and proud with the fact that we watch soaps, but not many people are. A lot of people are like, you know, I'm a secret watcher and like been watching it since, you know, 30 years, but nobody would know. And so I'm pretty sure that most of the fandom now is secret watchers, just people who are not out here trying to, because I know most people on soap social media, wherever it is, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, got there because they were looking for someone, myself included, to talk about GH with.
Yeah.
And so there's probably a huge swath of the audience that watches it after work, at home, on Hulu, at the dead of night, when you're not going to get any visitors, being like, is that Funny Parentals? What are you watching?
I mean, not even secret, but like just, you know, I mean, yeah, secret for some people, but also just like not people who are on social media, not people who want to talk about it. If I was a person who just like happened upon GH soap Twitter, I'd be like, ooh, nope, no thank you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good. Mostly because they don't really like what I like. So like, I like, for example, if I had never been on soap Twitter and then I was like, oh, I kind of like this Jex couple, let me see what people are talking about, I'd be like, oh, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, just, so it's not, you know, people, and that's not, even also Facebook, I'd be seeing some of like the racist shit they'd be saying. I'm like, oh, this ain't for me. This ain't for me. So anyway.
Yeah, I just post every once in a while. I used to post all the time. I used to post like multiple times a day. Like I would gift the episode. I think a lot of people,
yeah, I remember that.
One thing I get from DMs a lot, like, oh, I miss when you used to gift the episode. It takes so long. It takes like 2.5 hours to watch the episode. But yeah, the conversation ain't what it necessarily used to be. And even like this week I posted a couple times and I'm always talking by myself. I'm always speaking for myself. Like I said, I hate the royal we. It's so stupid. And people still feel like, I think that's the thing about Twitter. It's more of a social engagement platform where people feel like they can talk directly to you. Because like, and this is no shade to anybody, but like everybody felt the need, because I was like, okay, and I don't know if you noticed this. So Liz told Drew that Charlotte was the most popular girl in her class. And then Charlotte told Laura that she don't got no friends.
Yeah.
So I was like,
that's what my hot takes. Yeah, I was confused.
I posted that with like the Oprah, so which like the what's the truth gift. And everybody, like at least 7 people felt the need to like tell me their high school trauma. They were like, I was very popular, but I was always alone. And I'm like, I feel like totally. That's very valid. Everybody's feelings are valid. And there is a potential you are reading too much into that, that either she's lying to gain sympathy or that the writers are just that inconsistent.
It felt like an inconsistency. I had this in my hot takes, actually. It was real. It felt like an inconsistency because it wasn't even like her being like, yeah, people like Charlotte could have been like, yeah, people like me, but I haven't been able to connect to them. Because that would have been actually even more compelling for what they're actually writing. So it just felt really weird. Like, Jake now has all of these friends because he's dating Charlotte, even though Charlotte ain't really say she was dating Jake. She was just like, we friends.
You sure did.
You know what, girl, same. So I ain't really mad about that.
That's her puppet.
Charlotte has learned early.
Especially with someone with Jason Morgan's DNA.
Get out of here.
He can guard your heart. Because he probably going to have like three other bitches chasing after it in like 2 years. You're going to have to fight all of them, girl, in the Thunderdome.
This is true. If Jake takes after his daddy, it's going to be multiple Jake ships.
All of a sudden, Emma kicks in the door. Hey, girl, I'm on it. Because, you know, they're going to keep her frozen in time until Brooklyn is 18. which I stand.
Yeah.
Give Nicholas Betchel a new character. We can bring him back.
I loved Nicholas Betchel. I loved him. Okay. Not working for me this week. Inconsistencies. We talked about some of them. But one of the big inconsistencies for me was, is Sasha just off her guardianship magically? Is this judge or is this like doctor just in jail without Gladys having to like speak up? Gladys is free for what she did. Does she still have any control over Sasha's accounts? Like, who took her off? Those are the kind of things that I think actually give payoff to certain stories. Not just having them happen, but some of those logistical things are really important. Like, and it was just, how was Cody out?
I mean, you have a doctor who works for the court, illegally drugging patients, taking payoffs from guardians, but Alexis Davis cares about this Drewson shit. Where's that story? That would be the story. You would get the Times running that. But, like, let's blackmail a judge.
Because I also was like, is this not blackmail? This feels illegal. No?
Yeah, the face of deception was bamboozled by her ex-mother-in-law / guardian and drugged by a court-appointed therapist who then locked her in an insane asylum for the criminally insane and tried to kill her. But let's cry about how my good luck attorney suit didn't work.
Like, it was weird. And it's just like I said, the inconsistency and like the lack, it just shows the lack of care that is put into some of these stories. Like, that needed to be addressed.
What's not working for me? Curtis, because I didn't even watch any of his scenes. I saw him like move his super thick tree trunk of legs into bed. Because, you know, Donnell Turner's a man. And so he's probably jogging right now.
Hanging up on you.
because the story is so just bad. And then he was talking about how, like, his dick works, but it doesn't work. Like, his dick is still, like, it's going to work, but then, like, it's not connected to his heart. And so he's not sure if he's a man. And I was like, what is happening? Fast forward. Fast forward, Portia's in her freakum slip, like, just, you know, being.
Did you call it a freakum slip?
He was like, I just got promoted. Obviously, I need to get dick down. That's standard protocol. And he was like, no, because I can't. And I'm supposed to care about this, and I don't. And that's terrible. The problem.
Terrible. Let Portia have an affair with TJ. I'm ready for it. PJ.
I mean, I wasn't necessarily a fan of when Sunny was in the wheelchair, but it was better than this.
Curtis is... First of all, I don't think they should have him in a wheelchair. And I hope that this is over soon. And I just feel like there was something to it that, like, okay, he's down. And some of this also happens when you are telling these stories and people are not on screen a lot, right? So, like, back in the day, I think about a lot, like, when they used to be telling stories, like people would be on like every day or every other day or whatever. So you saw them all the time and the story kind of moved. And so with Curtis, like we don't see him all the time. So it's like week to, we see him once a week and then each, like nothing has happened. He's just moved rooms. As opposed to like, he's moved and been like, okay, I'm accepting this. He also was like such a, like it's just like, I can't wear this basketball hat because I can't play basketball. I can't do this because I'm not a man. It's just like, stop. Please, stop. And also, like, I would prefer him to be in a position where, okay, he sulked and now he's trying to figure out the next steps. How do I play wheelchair basketball? How do I, like, the things that are like, how do I get back to my life? As opposed to sulking. And I get that it's realistic that somebody might lose, like, I'm not looking for, like, some kind of, like, disability inspiration porn. That's not what I'm looking for. But I'm saying that, like, Curtis is not compelling enough to make me care about this.
He's not compelling, and he's making it seem like being paralyzed, like, makes you, like, subhuman in some way. Like, bro, what are you saying? Like, yeah. I understand what they're trying to do. They're just doing it so horribly, like, yeah. And like, because of how they had him get paralyzed, like, this would be a good time for him to talk to Sunny, because Sunny actually dealt with all of these same things but in a more compelling way. Because like, if you haven't watched Sunny in the wheelchair, I don't recommend going back, not that great. And the whole point was that it affected his appearance as a mobster. Mm-hmm. And so that's what he was worried about. He wasn't necessarily, like, he was worried about some, like, masculine type things, but it was mostly, like, I have to project an image as a mob boss, and I can't do that in this chair. Mm-hmm. And so it was more compelling, and I think that, like, because Curtis doesn't have such high stakes, like, he literally lives with a doctor. So it's like, what are the high stakes? Like, I need to project myself as a man for what? Just like, and so instead they're having him deal with like just raw emotions, which, you know, I just think could be dealt with better. I don't necessarily think that paralyzing him was the right. Like, if anything, they should have given him a pill addiction. His character dealt with addiction off screen. And so, like, if he got shot in the back and then he had to go on painkillers and then he started abusing.
Be Lucky Spencer. Give me a Black Lucky Spencer.
Black Lucky Spencer. Get him. That would have got him closer to an Emmy than the story.
Bucky Spencer. That was bad. Don't worry about what I just did. Don't worry about what that.
So. Yeah, on that note, yeah.
The other thing not working for me, Esme still being central to Sabrina's story. So this week we had Spencer bring Trina milk coffee, because that shit was very light. It was just like, okay.
Let's put Coke in a thing and let it go flat and pretend like he brought her a cold brew.
It was funny. I did kind of laugh a little bit. I was like, oh, Spencer. But we had Spencer bring Trina some coffee. And it was very sweet to her work. And it was funny because like we see her like daydreaming. And I was like, I know that's right, girl. she was like daydreaming about them in bed together. And then he shows up. And then they just start talking, and she's like, what you about to do with your life, and what's going on with Esme and Ace? And I think, you know, what is really difficult is, this is another lack of inconsistency, like when they're talking about Nicholas coming home. If Nicholas came home, he wouldn't be, like it felt like Spencer was going to say, like, he would come, like, ruin my family, but he ended up saying routine. Nicholas going to jail, is he not? Like, I don't...
He kept a woman hostage, like a pregnant woman.
Yeah, or like even like them being like, even like before, and they're like, oh yeah, he's alive. I'm like, who thought he wasn't alive besides Ava? Yeah. Why would he not be alive? It's like, it looked like he just left. So anyway, Spencer's kind of like, you know, I'm don't have much going on, but I do love Ace. I do love like you. And Trina kind of pushed back. I also found it to be really interesting, and I think maybe you even said this, that Spencer was talking about boarding school and how Nicholas would have been boarding school. And I don't know if this is like changing the story or if this is like the hard thing to know about like what they're trying to retcon, if it's like them trying to change his story or if it's that they just don't know his story, because Spencer was not in boarding school with Nicholas.
No, Laura said
he was in boarding school because he was threatening Valentine for killing Nicholas.
And so Laura sent him because she was like, oh no, honey, I can't deal with this. And we're up for mayor.
It was also like, we aged up Kim and Joss and we did not age you up, so you got to go off screen.
Yes. Because all of a sudden, Jocelyn was his camp counselor and I was like, what is happening here? Like, we're pretending that didn't happen. That's in the void. Yeah, I brought that up on Twitter. It got a bunch of likes and then some people were like, oh, well, this is a maybe. And I was like, he was in like the private school that the Corinthi children went to, where they had to wear that vest with the button ups and the tie. Like, it was a little Port Charles Hogwarts. But he definitely was in Port Charles. He always lived at Windermere because right. That was the big thing, was that he thought that he was going to live at Windermere with Laura. And then Valentine said, nah, bitch, and kicked in the door and threw them out on the street. So she had to go, he had to go live in town like a townie. And he was super fucking mad. And Valentine was like, I will kill a kid. I am early Valentine, who is unchained, have not given me a child yet. And so I will murder children. And so, yeah, I think it's scab writing. Because, like, I was of two minds. Like, I watch the soap like that, too. Like, sometimes I watch from one character's perspective, or I'll try to watch from both. First of all, the dialogue for the Sabrina thing was nuts. Because her just bringing it up was nuts. I'm like, girl, y'all just banged. Like, this is a pre-bang conversation. All of these questions.
Not when you're 19 or 20, it
ain't. Nah, not when you've spent 2 years leading up to the bang. Like, you had ample time to ask him what his freaking hopes and dreams are.
Nah.
But then also him not having... Him not having a response was wild. He was like, I'm just gonna, you know, be a rich bum. Like,
no, I disagree. I felt like it was very, like, that is a pre-banging conversation if you're in your, like, late 20s, early 30s. That is a big, like, damn, I love him. We just bang it out. What we gonna do kind of conversation. I understood it from an age perspective.
No, I would have understood it from an age perspective with Jex, because they have just met. Like, when they finally just banged, they just decided to bang. She was dating someone else and they just bang, and then she hasn't asked him what his life's hopes and goals are. Like, I understand that. You have known this kid for 2 years. For 2 years, you have had several deep, meaningful conversations. And, like, it's just a dialogue issue. Even if she's like, yeah, okay, a lot have changed in the last 2 years, and I'm making X, Y, and Z moves, so what are your moves and stuff? Like, they really made it seem like she's like, well, now that we've banged, we should talk about our future. And it's like, have you not been talking about your fucking future for, like, this sexless relationship you've been in for most of the year? Like, how is this the first you're bringing this up? His response was horrific, you know, when he was like, yeah, I'm sure. Maybe with some other, with my side hoe. Like,
get out of here.
It's not even my baby, but I feel obligated to said baby. And then, like, the whole week was, like, telling Spencer he's not this kid's baby. He's the baby daddy. Like, and him being super, like, upset about that, because him with Kevin was, like,
weird.
That was super weird. He's like, I don't appreciate you bringing this up. Like, I don't appreciate you driving her places. That's his niece. What are you saying? You live with this man.
Yeah, I think that for me, with the conversation, it could have been, well, this is two separate things. One, I think the dialogue could have been better, and I'll say why. But my bigger issue is that Esme is still even a part of their relationship. I actually do not know, like, I've watched a lot of soaps. I can't think of another relationship where a character like Esme has been consistently in the path of a coupling ever.
In recent history? No. In actual show, this is very much a Carly interrupting JNR coded.
Sure.
Sure. Even with the baby and all.
Sure.
Carly had a memory.
But like, Carly didn't drug and terrorize Robin.
Nah, but she did go around calling her nasty, like dirty blood and stuff.
Yeah, because she was. I'm so glad I didn't see any of that shit, because I probably wouldn't be a Carly fan.
Very uncute. Yeah. Uncute Carly. Bad girl. Bad.
Yeah, trash. Yeah, I came in after that, thankfully. But what I'm saying,
somewhere flipping a table when she listens to this, she's like, "Fuck it, bitch, Carly." I'm sorry, I'm just imagining the future.
So I just like don't understand why Esme, like, why they continue to have this character who is underdeveloped, that they haven't like made like even remotely rootable to me. Be so present. So that's one thing. But then the other part of it is like the dialogue. So I think, you know, even when it's like asking questions that are really rooted in like these people's history, again, scab writer, so what can you expect? But what, like, Spencer could say, "I didn't get Ace a nanny because I was raised by nannies." Not about like this, like you going to boarding school, because that's not true. But the truth is, I specifically remember with Spencer, like after Emily died, Nicholas didn't even want to be around him because he had that tumor and he had whatever. So Spencer could actually bring that into like his life. Like, oh yeah, my dad had me raised by nannies, and then all of a sudden he was there. I don't want Ace to have to go through that. I just feel like, to your point about the dialogue, it just was really lacking. And a lot of dialogue lacks, but the fact that it's centered on Esme is frustrating. I will say I was glad that Trina had like a backbone with him, because I feel like a lot of times they've taken that away from Trina. So it was really great to have her stand up. It could have even been Trina coming back like, "You audited some classes at PCU to say that you were going to go, and then I have not heard from you to say you were going to go back to school. What are you doing?" And I think that could have taken care of some of the stuff that you're talking about, which is like, y'all have actually been friends and in relationship with each other for a very long time. So how is it that you have no idea about what he's going to do? You could even say, it feels like you said you wanted to do these things, and then you started like being a not dad to Ace, and then you stopped doing it. Like, something that actually connects and doesn't make it seem like these people are strangers. And so, like, that made me mad. But then the Esme, when Spencer showed up to, like, the doctor, she was just like, "Well, I thought you were with Trina." With his girlfriend?
Yeah.
What's the problem? So I'm worried about what they're going to do. I'm worried about whether or not they're going to have Spencer try to, like, adopt the baby. Because it is really difficult when you have this kind of age difference. And if I'm being really honest, if like that was my life and I had to step up for like one of my siblings, I probably would.
They just did this whole storyline so wrong. They wanted Esme this to work. Because like with Carly and Jason, it was like she didn't want AJ to have the baby. And right. So he had to pretend to be the baby's daddy, that she left. She had the baby and she bounced. And then, like, Jason and Robin were raising that baby, and then she came back.
Yeah.
And then Robin became the third wheel in that situation. That was a way to do it if you really wanted to make this issue. And also, just, you know, in a side note, they have to figure out a way to let Sabrina have some type of afterglow. I mean, it really is like ricochet. It's like whiplash at this point. Because like they give them moments, and then immediately after that moment, they're fighting.
Immediately, right.
Or he's like turning his back on her for Esme or some bullshit like that. And so they never even let them have like a few days. Like, okay, we went to New York. We reaffirmed our relationship. We took it to the next level. And now we're going to like the Metro Court, and we're having breakfast, and da da da, like a couple things, and then boom, Esme wrecking ball comes in. Right. It's like it's not even Esme anymore. It's like the dialogue itself is the wrecking ball, where like Trina's like, well, now that we've done this, and I understand the like paranoid idea, like, well, now that I've taken this big step in our relationship, I need to know that you're not just going to pull the rug underneath me. But, and that's fine. That dialogue is fine. And you couldn't wait like a week to give it. Like, you couldn't let them, you know, little text between each other and yada, yada, yada. It has to be immediate. Like, now we're fighting.
Right.
And now Spencer yelling through the streets of Port Charles how much Esme means to him. Like, she's a good mother. And also, I'm not going to leave my brother with her. Which is it?
Right. And I think that what you hit the nail on the head, which is that y'all, they do not allow this couple, because the show has hinged so much on the will they, won't they, and then they did, and now what's next? Like, because that has been them as a couple, it has actually impeded them from being able to grow as, like, a couple. And so it was just like, you know, the idea that they waited so long to, like, sleep together, like, even the, like, they had to go out of town because if they were, for whatever reason, if they were in town, they would have these interruptions. Like, they just aren't allowed, to your point, to have this afterglow, to have this, like, these just, like, very sweet moments. Like, yes, it was sweet that he bought her coffee. He could have asked her about, like, the art gallery. She could have maybe at the end of that conversation been like, well, what's going on with you? And then he had to leave or something. But, like, everything has to be over the top. Everything has to be whatever with them. And I think that they, and I've said this so many times, have earned, as a couple, like, some good time. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've gone through, like, they have stacked the angst. People are with them with the angst, and they deserve to come out on the other side with really even half the good shit that they had in the stack up of angst, and they don't get that.
And they don't seem to realize that even if they had Spencer go scorched earth on Esme, he would still have his whole fandom behind him. This is not a situation where everyone would be like, oh, you shouldn't have hit her so hard. It's going to be like everyone screaming at him to hit her. Like, screaming at him to steal that baby. Screaming at him to use Victor's evidence. Why not just do it? Right. Like, and then I get that it becomes like, well, then Trina's moral compass comes into play and, like, how much she's willing to do it. But then don't have her ask these questions where you essentially, she wants to get rid of Esme too. Which is it?
I mean, I think that it's the idea that, like, he is building a family with Esme, or he is a family with Esme, while he's also this other thing with Trina, like, and this coupling with Trina. It just isn't fair to Trina. And I hate the writing of this, and it's not about either Trina or Spencer, it's about Esme. So to your point of, like why they couldn't do more of a Jason and Robin thing with Esme, and, like, have maybe Esme leave the baby with Spencer and Trina get close to the baby, they couldn't do that because the whole precipice of, like, the redemption of Esme is that she's a good mom. So, like, they're doing all of this heavy lifting and, like, putting the load onto Sprina to, like, make Esme viable. And you shouldn't have written her like that if you wanted to make her viable. You just shouldn't have. And so now, like, they aren't able to have the romance they deserve because of Esme. Because y'all didn't know how to write.
I mean, they would be teaming up together to take her down. Just like, and even if the whole town, even if Laura and Kevin and random other people in town were like, you shouldn't have done that, they would still have each other. It'd be like, well, we did this because we were taking care of little baby Ace, and we're better at it than she is. She's just a better fucking liar. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they could stand in what they did together. But, like, they pointed their moral compasses in opposite directions. And so now they can't make moves together, which is, like, ridiculous. Like, you don't, it's stupid storytelling. Because they want to tell this, like, dark prince story, but he's not a dark prince. He's not doing anything. What's dark about him? Mm-hmm. He was torturing Ava, and now he's not. Like, and so now he's just taking care of his brother. That's not being a dark prince. Oh, he kept the, you know, evidence, so?
He's a little rude to Kevin. Not a dark prince. A little bit of a brat.
Not a dark prince. So they can have, like, moral compass. Because that is good storytelling. That's the Emily and Nicholas storyline. Compass is pointing in different directions. But then you have, like, my favorite type storyline. When the moral compasses are aligned and they're all pointing south towards hell. And so, you know, you got your Carsons, your J-Sams, your Jexes, you know. Like, people who are incommunicado, they understand one another. It's them against the world. They don't care about anyone else. And Sabrina could have been that. And instead, they're this, where people are fed crumbs, essentially. Like, ooh, look how special this is. Even the New York storyline was, like, crumb-filled, like, and messy. Because they couldn't even just let them go to New York. First, we had to, like, pretend that Ace took a time machine back to 1996 and got chickenpox.
I got mad about that too when somebody in the comments was like, you're just nitpicking. I'm like, I'm not, it's not for me about nitpicking. It's about wanting better for a couple that I feel like has been invested in.
If you were going to have Esme interrupt it, she should interrupt it when they're already there. Like, they're banging in the bed and then it pans to the cell phone and there's that whole Colin talking about chicken pox. And then you can have cute moments where, like, you can even have Spencer choose to just delete the message. But no, he's too weirdly obsessed with his brother. It's just such a weird storyline. They need to, Kevin, do your job. Start therapizing.
All right, let's move to hot takes. Do you have any, or do you want me to go through mine and react? I have very few.
Okay, you go through yours, and if I think of any, you know I don't plan anything. Everything's chaos.
I love Nina still making little digs at Michael at the table. She's like, Michael had to leave for business. I'm like, damn, girl, he kissed you on the cheek and everything. You can't let it go. And that's what I hate to the earlier point about stories like this, because now she's going to be justified in her feelings because he did some bullshit when she had just been on, like, she wasn't justified before. Anyway. If I were Sasha, I would leave too. What'd she stay here for? When Maxie brought up Nathan, I was like, you, Maxie, have, like, family and roots in Port Charles. You staying in Port Charles with your children who need you and all of that, like, that has nothing to do with Sasha. Sasha has been nothing but abused in this town. She ain't got nothing here but maybe some friends who couldn't tell she was getting swindled by Gladys.
That part.
I'd have ran to Austin. I would have had, maybe she ain't got the money for it, but I would have had hired movers to pack my shit up, and I'd already be in Austin in a hotel.
Yeah.
Even though, this is not me saying I want Sasha to leave. I don't. I like Sasha. I'm just saying, I get it.
I thought of one. LOL at Christina's 35-year-old ass third wheeling on her dad's honeymoon, on his, like, 18th honeymoon. Super funny.
Ooh, Lord, Christina. Oh,
what is this? Like, girl. Go home.
I loved Joss essentially playing Clue. She was like, it was the butler with a martini glass in the foyer with a lollipop that Avery doesn't like. Like, what the hell is going on here?
Like, girl, call the cops. Pilar's reasoning behind, hot take, LOL at Pilar's reasoning for not telling Carly. Girl, your charge's mother has gone missing, and now you're afraid to talk to her other mother because her boyfriend's in the hospital. If you don't do your job, who signs your paycheck?
Also, like, what kind of nanny is this that you be, like, taking the baby home to your mama? Like, what is going on?
Took the baby home to your mama and then showed up at, like, what was it, Joss's dorm room? Girl, how did you have the dorm room number?
R.I.P. Letitia. I mean, redhead Michael used to run away from Letitia, but damn, she was living in the house. Diego. Fucking Diego. I was cracking up at the Mason Ava thing when he was just like, you saw a little dirt under my nails. I'm like, so bro, if you knew how to wash your hands, we wouldn't be in this situation. What are you talking about? Wash your hands, Mason. Why are you nasty? You could be poor without being nasty. I grew up poor without being nasty. What are we talking about?
Like, why are you between him and Cyrus? Now, Cyrus had some points when it came to Sunny. Like, why is it okay what Sunny did? But, like, him, he tried, it seemed like they tried to crib the same speech, except with Austin banging Ava. And I was like, what?
It was, I didn't like it.
It's not the same. Like, consent. She doesn't have to bang you. You are not entitled to her vagina.
Austin gives the biggest incel energy of life.
Austin or Mason?
Mason. Yeah. Mason gives the biggest incel energy. This is the way he like came at Olivia. This is the shit with Ava. I'm like, get this sex offender off my screen. I'm tired of him. This for dirty real. Nail, lollipop licking sex
offender. Great lollipop. Ugh. I mean, Austin has bitch energy. You know, it's just constantly...
I miss Todd Manning. Ugh, anyway. Shout out to Carly for my favorite line of the week. That man didn't find the Lord. He found a loophole.
I want hot take deep in my heart. I want Ava Jerome and Carly Spencer to take Avery to Malibu, Florida and redo beaches.
Did you ever know? No, okay, let me not go.
Nina can keep Donna. I was like, the most unloyal of the Carson children. The loyalty, it goes Morgan, unborn Carson baby, and then Donna way at the bottom.
Yeah.
So.
Unborn Carson baby.
Yeah, more loyal than Donna. That's the one that didn't make it because AJ threw Carly down the stairs. I'm still mad at that. We'll be it for that.
I remember. Cyrus getting out without nobody notifying the victims. I was like, what is going on here? Just because he's sick don't mean. Portia said, you know, how much strength does he need to hold a gun? I said, I know that's right, Portia.
Exactly. And let me defend Portia real quick. Running up on Jordan is completely understandable. She's like, she's running the town. She's, you know, queen in waiting of Port Charles. And so, yeah, if someone gets out of prison, I'm going to go to the only other Black person I know in law enforcement and ask them what the hell is going on. And ask them, is this due to our very unnecessary feud over Curtis Ashford's penis? Like, is that why you thought it was okay? Like, who else was she supposed to contact? You know, like, people were really like, damn, Portia. And it's like, okay, a person who held her and her daughter hostage while she had to bandage through his shirt, Jason shot his ponytail off. He doesn't even have the ponytail anymore, so you don't even know what he's like, his mindset is. He's out free. He's just free. And he's just walking around my job. Just walking through GH. Walking through town. Who else am I calling? And I'm calling Jordan immediately and be like, bitch, what did you do? Didn't you used to work for him, Jordan? Weren't you dealing drugs for him and like helping him move crime? And no one, not a single person, said anything or wrote a single think piece about it?
Oh,
now you're deputy mayor?
Don't know anything about these three pieces. Because the other thing that's really interesting is, like, it's clear that Mason is the person who held TJ hostage.
That part.
Austin. So I'm interested to know how that shows up. And also, LOL to us not seeing this Molly since the last time we saw this Molly.
Hot take. They made all this big deal. We saw, what did KJ said? 10 Mollies crying over this surrogacy. And Christina's evil. And now we don't care.
Ain't never seen it. Don't care. Don't know what the circuit's doing. Don't know nothing.
You're like Gregory's daughter. His real life daughter is playing the surrogate. And then she just disappeared.
I wrote Liz and Drew Kim? Question mark?
I mean,
it just, to me, illustrates how bad Finn and Liz are, because when she was in that scene with Drew, she lit up. When she's in the scene with Finn, her light exterminates. And I don't know what to tell you. That shit is terrible, awful. I am interested to see what happens, because like then you had Drew telling her he loved Jake like a son. I was like, you ain't seen Jake? Big Jason energy.
I mean, she can have him once Carson rises once more.
Oh, God. Sure, whatever. You know, I'm on the cruise ship until...
As long as Nina ends up alone in a trash can.
It feels like they're pushing Nina towards... I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, that's true.
I don't want to talk about it. When Liz was talking about...
They are pushing him toward the trash can then, because that fool's trash. Wishes do come true.
This was the rudeness about me. When Liz called her grandma, I said, you finna have Graham babysit them kids?
Graham is like 104, so what is happening?
Like, I ain't heard about Graham in a long time.
Can we just get... I mean, one, just acknowledge that Liz's kids are old enough to watch themselves. They don't need a babysitter. You'll be fine. You can order a pizza. Mm-hmm. You're good. And two, get Liz other friends. She used to have like a gaggle of friends and they murdered them all.
That's true. Well, did Portia call herself Liz's best friend, or like Liz her best friend or something?
Portia can't watch Liz's kids. She's too busy trying to like start, you know, a Wiccan circle to get Curtis's dick to work or something. Oh, make him stop yelling at her.
I would like to
back in jail.
I want them to give my baby Aiden a personality besides baking. Like, please. Anyway, not important.
Blue Lives Matter this week. She was like, put him back in jail, no trial.
The last thing I will say that I really loved was Sante Cuddles. When Dante walked in and he took Sam's glasses off and he took her book, they were just so cute. And then there was a point in which like he kind of tucked her, and I've seen this gif so many, like play so many times, because it's so sweet, and it's like the kind of subtle thing that only people who are extremely comfortable with each other could do, and like really portraying like this love and comfort between, like that Sam was his comfort. I just feel like Sante does so much. They are tired, okay? All they do is save other people. Dante is exhausted. He's like, listen, I'm on screen all the time when the only screen I want to be on is the one with Sam. We do not get them together a lot, but when we do, I just feel like Kelly and Dom do everything to make it worth it and to show the connection between these characters. And it's this, I mean, I know that like both of us are like OGJ Sam fans. Like, I've loved a lot of Sam's other ships. And I think what I personally love about Sante is the comfort of like, this is Sam's grown ass relationship. Like this is the man I'm like at home with my kids with. And so it might not be like the soapiest of relationships, but I find them to be a comfort couple because they are just so like soft with each other. So shout out to Sante. Shout out to Kelly and Dom for always giving us what we need. Well, giving me what I need with Sante, and just being like, I don't know, very lovely together. That's my last hot take.
Shout out to Sam not caring about Dante shooting a man.
Didn't like, at all.
Cool, give me a hug.
So bad.
You know, like, welcome to the ranks of the people in Port Charles who don't care about murder. Ava was going hard. She was like, hopefully he's dead. So welcome, Dante, to your own family.
Look, shout out to Jocelyn. She was like, Ava, you like, you need this. And she just handed her a drink.
It was thick, too. I was like, damn, girl, that's like four shots. It was like, that's at least
Ava like was like, thank you.
$200 worth of your mom's booze. Girl, learn how to pour out a shot. Pouring that some expensive whiskey like it was Coca-Cola. Girl, no.
I really loved Jex taking care of Ava because, you know, Evan just had his slutty energy, just like his Dexon everywhere. Just like that slutty energy was everywhere.
Harley must have had a time when she went home. She got drunk Ava because Jocelyn got her plastered. Jocelyn making muffled noises from her room, swearing at Dex in here. Like,
I was like, Jocelyn, please calm down. You're like, you're about to mount this man in the living room, okay? Please. Calm yourself.
That was definitely the first time Jess banged at her mom's house because I gotta stay. Too much is going on. I can't go home with you tonight. So yeah, Carly's house was like, she was just hearing things all night, I'm sure. Just Ava, random Jack noises, like praying to God Avery don't wake up. Pilar and her mom showed up, like
For real.
That's the off-screen shenanigans. That's what I think about when this show is being extra. Like, when they start showing Curtis, that's what I start to think about. I wonder what Carly's doing with, like, drunk Ava and Jex and Co.
I love me some black couples. I cannot believe we don't have an Ilani type of couple on GH. Like, it's tragic. Ilani is from Days, if you don't watch it. Anyway, we've talked a lot. Let's talk. Are you ready to get into previews for next week?
Yes, I'm going to be quiet so we can get through them.
Monday, Brooklyn is stunned. Cody voices his gratitude. Tracy flexes her authority. Portia and Cyrus come face to face. Sunny confronts Selena. Tuesday, Laura confronts Scott, Cyrus delivers a threat, and Lucy seeks out Tracy.
Is that what Jesus would do?
Meanwhile, Michael ponders a big decision, and Nina chews out Martin. Wednesday, Willow and Obert catch up, so Obert is back. Dante checks on Cody, and Nina is blindsided. Meanwhile, Carly gets unsettling news, and Maxie shares her professional opinion. Don't know what that's about. I want Spixie back. That's editorial. All right. Thursday, Curtis is livid. Sunny and Dante have a heart-to-heart, and Jocelyn is outraged. Meanwhile, Felicia makes a costly mistake. Eek. And Cody is given food for thought. Friday, Elizabeth learns a new skill. Maybe with Finn? Alexis and Laura catch up, and TJ is disappointed. Meanwhile, Trina comes face to face with Cyrus, and Austin loses his cool.
He's trying to have Austin not look like a bitch anymore.
Not gonna lie to you, it's not much I'm looking forward to next week. Well, thanks for hanging with us. Tara, thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, tell people about us, and we'll be back next week. Oh, yeah, I think we're going to try to do something live next week, but we'll see. Keep a lookout for it. Bye, y'all.